with the live stream. But if not, if so, you can be seated. If not, you can stay seated. All right. Praise the Lord. He is good. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, first book and first chapter of the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be looking today at verses 18 to 25. Looking at Joseph, this man God chose from before the foundation of the world to be the earthly father of His one and only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to read our passage today, and then we're going to look closely at the character, the attitude, the actions of Joseph and his calling. Matthew says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word today. I hope you have your Bible in front of you this second Sunday of Advent 2020. Advent is, of course, historically a time when Christians joyfully remember Christ's incarnation, His coming into the world as a fully flesh-enrobed human being. And it's a time also when Christians have historically celebrated and anticipated His consummation, that is, His return to rule and reign on the earth at the end of the age. Both of these give us just great hope, tremendous hope. The incarnation is the fulfillment in history of God's plan of redemption, conceived in eternity past, set in motion at creation and in the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, advanced through the arc of history down through Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and the nation of Israel, and brought to fruition in the little town of Bethlehem some two millennia ago. The consummation of Christ's return at the end of the age gives us also great hope that our labors for His kingdom, especially in the midst of our light, as Paul calls it, momentary sufferings and trials and travails in this present world, the consummation gives us hope that our labors in this world are not in vain, and that will indeed, in the end, work for us an eternal weight of glory in the age to come. So the incarnation and the consummation give us great hope. And so today, we turn to Joseph's part in the birth narrative of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. We may be tempted to look at Joseph as somewhat less than necessary character in this story of stories. After all, I mean, it's not his baby in Mary's womb. Surely a God powerful enough to implant His own eternal Son in a virgin's womb is powerful enough to protect and provide for that virgin and her holy child quite well enough, quite without the help of any man. But that's not how God does it. In this story, God is both breaking with and adhering to parts of the normal pattern. My title today is Abnormal. Abnormal. But we're also considering how God works in normal circumstances. Normal circumstances and abnormal circumstances. God breaks with, and also in this story, He holds to parts of the normal pattern of things. When God does this, when God works in the midst of normal and abnormal circumstances, He is looking for faith. It's an opportunity and an occasion for faith on our parts. Now, some normal patterns remain, but there have certainly been plenty of ways in which, by God's sovereign design and working, the normal patterns of our lives, both as families, individuals, and even as a church family, have been suspended, interrupted in 2020. And I say again, God is calling us to faith. God is not, He is not crushing our spirits. He is calling us to faith. And we stand to learn a lot, I believe, from Joseph's attitudes and actions in this story. Joseph met the test of faith, that the abnormal circumstances of his call threw at him. The question is, will we meet that test of faith in the circumstances that God brings into our lives? Let's keep this big idea in mind as we work through this passage. Here you go. Here's the big idea. Abnormal circumstances are when the gospel best advances. I'll say it again. Abnormal circumstances are when the gospel best advances. I believe that. Just think about it. The whole Bible is a testament to this truth. Miracle births, barren women conceiving. Not just the miracle birth, obviously, of the Holy Spirit conceiving God's Son in Mary's womb, but other miracle births, miracle victories, when there was no chance of victory, yet there was a victory for God's people, miracle rescues, miracle provision, miracle power, on and on and on the list goes. If a miracle is a suspension of the normal operation of creation by the hand of the Creator, then by definition, our faith is a miracle faith. Amen? Type amen out there if you believe that, okay? It's not based on pure logic. Our faith is not based on pure man-made reason as limited by the capacity of the human mind. No, it's based on a higher logic, a logic that requires not our denial of, but our acceptance of a supreme being with the prerogative to interrupt His normal way of doing things when He wants to for His own purposes. That's what faith is. Faith is abnormal. God wants to do what God wants to do. He's calling us to trust Him no matter how it is He chooses to do that. If He has a right to suspend the normal laws of justice by putting His own Son on a cross for the sake of vile, worthless sinners like us in the greatest abnormality of all abnormalities, then everything else should by degrees be easier for us to accept, right? I mean, that's the greatest abnormality of all, isn't it? The cross, where God, the Holy One, the Sovereign One, the Divine One, willingly puts His Son on the cross, and the Son willingly surrenders to that calling. Everything else ought to be easy for us to embrace. And so as we chase that big idea today that abnormal circumstances are where the gospel best advances, I want to look at three abnormal facets of Joseph. I'll list them for you and then we'll look at them one by one. First, abnormal commitment. Abnormal commitment. Second, abnormal connection. And third, abnormal consecration. So let's look at verses 18 to 20 again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, to be sure, Joseph had the Lord's help in all three of these facets, in his abnormal commitment, in his abnormal connection, and in his abnormal consecration. And we have that help also. We are just as much, very much as much, children of God as Joseph was. We are just as much called by God as Joseph was. Maybe in a different way, but we are called for the same purpose, to advance His cause, His mission, His gospel in the world, and we have His help in doing that. Verse 18 is really all about Mary, isn't it? And her abnormal circumstance of being pregnant by the Holy Spirit. One normal aspect, however, is her betrothal to Joseph. Now, this was a formal legal arrangement, binding in ways that our current modern-day notion of engagement is not. The only ways out of a betrothal in those days were the only ways that one could get out of a marriage. Same rules applied: death or divorce. It was a normal commitment. Verse 19 tells us that though they hadn't consummated the marriage in the physical way, Joseph was still called and considered her husband, right? We're told that he was a just man. He wanted to do the right thing. Remember, Matthew is writing retrospectively, okay? He is writing from a vantage point of the future, looking back on these events. Matthew knew that Mary's baby was the Holy Spirit's, okay? But Joseph didn't know this yet. In this sequence of events, Joseph did not know where this baby came from. And now, he's a just man, and he could have had her shamed, if not worse, for getting pregnant out of wedlock, but he doesn't. Instead, he resolves to do what? To divorce her quietly. Here again, we see the overlap of normal and abnormal. Mary's pregnancy is a normal pregnancy. Her belly is going to get big. She has a baby growing inside of her. It's normal in every way except the way in which it's abnormal, which is a pretty big way. She's pregnant by the Spirit of God. Likewise, Joseph's commitment and his course of action is normal until it becomes abnormal. Divorcing Mary would have been normal. It would have been acceptable. It would have been understandable. She broke her commitment. I'm free of my end of this commitment. But in verse 20, a divine intervention moves Joseph's commitment from normal to abnormal. But as he considered these things, we read, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It changes things, doesn't it? When abnormal circumstances interrupt our lives, often we reevaluate our commitments. And we look for an exit until God prompts us and shows us, hey, I'm at work here. I'm doing something here. I realize this isn't typical or comfortable or normal, but because I'm at work here, instead of breaking your commitment, I want you to deepen it. This is exactly what God has been doing all throughout redemptive history. At every turn, when His people broke their commitment, He deepened His commitment. Why? For His overall glory in the plan of saving those very sinners. us very sinners. In all the abnormalities of 2020, I want you to hear me clearly. God is still at work, okay? He is hard at work. His gospel is still active. This is not a time, despite our discomforts, to pull back from our commitments. It's time to go abnormal, okay? It's time to fear not. It's time to step forward and step upward by faith in a demonstration to the world of our trust in God. What was conceived in Mary's womb was of the Holy Spirit, the Savior, and the salvation that He would bring. That was what she was carrying around inside of her. What is conceived in the womb of this uncomfortable, abnormal year we've come to know as 2020 is of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? It is the Savior and the salvation that He is still bringing into the world through the abnormal commitment of His people's faith. Let's look at a second abnormality in Joseph's character here. Abnormal connection. Abnormal connection. This abnormal connection flows out of Joseph's abnormal commitment. This abnormal connection to the grand storyline of redemption. Verse 21 says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The Lord, through the voice of the angel, was prompting an abnormal commitment that would lead to a beautifully abnormal connection of Joseph to the eternal plan and story of redemption. It was normal for fathers to name their children in those days, but it was abnormal for them to name God's child. But this is Joseph's privilege, isn't it? As the man God chose to parent His son on earth. All this took place, verse 22 says, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. But wait a minute. I thought Joseph named him Jesus, not Emmanuel. And that's right. The abnormal connections of the people calling Him Emmanuel, God with us, including us today, would not have happened without Joseph first naming Him Yahweh is salvation. That's what Jesus, Yeshua, means. Joseph had to do his part for us to be able to do our part in the work of the gospel. That which we promote in this world had better have the right name, brothers and sisters. Do we want people to say God is with us as Christians and to one day say God is with them as well? I hope we all do. And then it had better be the name Jesus. The Lord is our salvation that shines forth from our lives and characterizes everything we say and do in this world. Joseph was given the right to name Mary's baby, but not just any old name. Priest, I think I'm going to go with Bob, the son of Joseph. How's that sound, Mary? You okay with that? No. Not just any old name, and any Bobs out there, your name's a good name. Just saying, not any name would do. Had to be the name God wanted Joseph to name his son. God picked the name. Joseph applied the name. We better not be naming who we are and how we are or why we are in this world as Christians as just religious, moral, good people. Those names are not sufficient. We are Jesus people. Amen? You are a Jesus person, brother or sister in Christ. I am a Jesus person in this world. I'm not just a good person who does nice things. I'm a person who shares good news in Jesus' name. By claiming that name, and that name alone, can we truly embrace our abnormal connection to the mission of God. And it's a beautifully abnormal connection. An abnormal connection to God's mission is the fruit of an abnormal commitment of faith. Remember, both are begun in our hearts by God's prompting, just as they were in Joseph's heart, by God's prompting. The third abnormal facet we're considering this morning is abnormal consecration. Matthew says in verses 24 to 25, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, it would be normal for Joseph to consecrate himself to a task had the Roman authorities ordered him to do something, right? And in fact, they had. They had ordered him and all Israelites to travel to their hometowns in order to be registered in the census and to pay their taxes. Consecration means setting oneself apart to do something. A special decision to set oneself apart, to neglect other things in order to do this thing. Consecration is often talked about in terms of our devotion to God. We are consecrated. We are set apart. We are holy unto God. We are to live for Him. Going to Bethlehem was an act of what we might call normal consecration for Joseph, and yet we see redemptive fulfillment even in the act of normal consecration, going to Bethlehem to pay his taxes. He wasn't just going there to pay his taxes, was he? Just as Mary's baby was not to have just any old name, neither was he to have just any old birthplace. His name came in fulfillment of prophecy, so also would his town of origin. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be named among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. That's straight out of Micah chapter 5 in the Old Testament. Don't you just love how God weaves our consecration in even normal circumstances into His grand story? But Joseph and Mary were abnormally consecrated as well. You see, they abstained from normal marital relations, even though she was already pregnant, even though the rumor mills no doubt were already circling, assuming that they had misbehaved, they were still consecrated. They did the abnormal thing of consecrating themselves to God's abnormal plan and His abnormal calling first and foremost. They lived purely. Where do you see the overlap between normal and abnormal in your life? 2020 has brought plenty of abnormality, but there's still normality. Faith is the great abnormality in this world. And not just any faith either. We're talking about the faith once and for all delivered unto the saints. We're talking about Christian faith. Faith in the story of redemption. Faith in the Redeemer whose abnormal / normal birth, whose parents' normal / abnormal commitment, normal / abnormal connection to God's story, normal / abnormal consecration to God. Recognize and learn from this time of year. We recognize and we see those elements in Mary and Joseph's life. And we acknowledge them this time of year. We ought to acknowledge them all year round. Let's remember, Mary and Joseph were disciples. Yeah, they had the rare, unique privilege of being Jesus' earthly parents. but he was still their Savior. He was still their Redeemer. They were still his servants, just as you and I. So let's remember that abnormal, uncomfortable circumstances are fertile soil for the glory of God in and through our lives. Let's lean in to the abnormal, folks, of our present circumstances. Let's dig in and deepen our commitment to Christ, to the gospel, and to His body, our local church. Let's find new ways to connect our lives out in the community, in our neighborhoods, amongst our family members, in our workplaces, faithfully naming the name of Jesus, telling that great story in our spheres of influence. And let's live with abnormal consecration and holiness before our God when all the world around us is saying, just live for yourself. Just do what you want. You are number one. Let's live in absolute, utter, abnormal denial of that. I want to close with just this challenge that we live abnormally. Life is going to have a hodgepodge of normal and abnormal experiences and events. And yet it is our God who's called us as His people to live abnormally by faith in His Son. An abnormal faith for an abnormal people. We're called peculiar people in the Bible. Let's just embrace that. If the Bible's going to call us that, let's embrace it. Let's live into it. There are ways for us to continue serving one another and loving one another, even though we can't be here together on Sunday morning. Listen, I'm convinced that part of what God is doing through this time, as much as I love to gather on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people, I think God is working through this discomfort to help us see that Monday through Saturday need to be elevated in our minds in terms of their importance in our Christian faith. Sunday is wonderful. I love it. I can't wait till we can be together again. But Sunday is not all there is. There is a 7 day a week mission for us. And there are umpteen gajillion ways for us to think creatively. God has given us imaginations. He has given us ideas and ways and resources with which to be a blessing in Jesus' name to our neighbors, to our communities. Let's not waste this season of discomfort. Let's capitalize on it. Joseph did not waste his season of awkward, abnormal, discomfortableness. There were so many ways in which he could have and might have wanted to make an exit from that uncomfortable circumstance into which he was brought, but he didn't. He dug in. He listened to the Lord, and he committed himself. His life was connected in a beautiful way to God's beautiful mission in this world. And he lived a consecrated life for the Lord. And we can be thankful for that today. We can be thankful that the Son of God had in his home a father who raised him with that kind of attitude and that kind of spirit. With a radical, abnormal commitment to his mother, to his God. A radical, abnormal connection, teaching that baby boy as he grew about the connection that he was in God's incredible story of redemption, and modeling consecrated spirit. Let's live that way. I'm for you. We're for one another. Let's not let Satan have any breathing room to drive a wedge in between us over this season of discomfort. We might disagree on where we ought to be meeting or when or how we ought to be meeting. You might not prefer to have to be meeting remotely right now. Let me just remind you, this isn't forever. This isn't permanent. It's uncomfortable for now, but God can grow us in our discomfort. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this story, the picture of Joseph. What uncomfortable circumstances were presented to him. Oh Lord, I just tremble to think about the kind of shame and awkwardness and embarrassment he must have felt at times given that circumstance. And yet through your word, through your voice, you helped him see the bigger picture. Lord, there's a bigger picture at work for us today, for your church in this world in 2020, right now in this moment. There's a bigger picture. Help us see it. Help us focus on it. Help us move forward by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you listen to this today or at any point, I want you to know and understand that we are Christians. We serve a God who loves people and a God who has chosen to redeem people, to save people from their sin, to give people hope, not just in this life, but for the life to come. And that hope is personified and manifested in His Son in this world, who came into this world to live a perfect life and die for our sins. The call for all of us is whether or not we will receive that free gift by faith. And so if you have been confronted with the gospel of Jesus and you would like to know more about what it means to follow Him, to believe in Him, to trust Him as your Lord and Savior, I hope you'll reach out. I hope you'll send a private message to us on Facebook. I would love to be able to visit with you, talk on the phone, and explain more of what we believe. Don't let this opportunity go by the wayside. God is calling you. He wants you. He loves you.